Happy Friday. Thanks for joining us for another week of Take Two. It is somehow October 16th. We are 18 days out from the 2020 election. We have Jim DeBacchus back from his bunker.
Jim,
Greg,
welcome.
Hughes in-house. Are you ready to tell us where you were?
So nice. Yeah, my bunker.
Okay. Yeah, he's not disclosing. But
I've heard it's a gold-lined bunker. It's a nice bunker.
He came back with, look, there's animals in here. Yeah, of course Jim would need a comfort pet. You know, the man can't just walk the streets on his own, brave this mean world. He has to have a chihuahua as his comfort pet.
It's an attack dog.
It
be
is.
Careful,
this dog's in here. In fact, I can't see it right now. I think it's sizing me up behind me.
You know, I'll those post dogs a picture online.
They hit your ankles from behind. You know that? Yeah. So I know this dog's here somewhere.
So if you hear barking, it's not us. It's Taco.
It's Jim, actually.
Okay, gentlemen. I feel like I need to go to a bunker myself and just take a week off from everything that's happening, but that's a bad time to do it. We need to engage. We have our ballots on our counters. Everyone have their ballots? Did they arrive in the mail?
I did, and I opened mine up today.
I got mine.
Reviewed it.
Yep.
Okay, I haven't opened it. And the funny thing is you get this close to the election, and I think most people don't realize how many things they actually have to vote on, and there's a lot. One thing that Jim is dying to talk about is one that I don't want to talk about, mostly because I don't know what the right answer is. But Amendment G, we've done several stories here at KUTV.com. Our Beyond the Books did one last night. We've talked to two different sides. We've talked to education specialists who've been in the business for 20 and 30 years on both sides, and they're equally adamant that it should pass or not pass. Let's read it first. So the ballot text says, shall the Utah Constitution be amended to expand the use of money the state receives from income taxes and intangible property taxes to include supporting children and supporting people with a disability? So here goes the question. Do we change the Constitution? I'm always leery of changing the Constitution because sometimes it's a big decision if you're not totally educated. So educate us, Jim. Should we change the Constitution?
No.
Okay.
And it is really the biggest bunch of bullshit
as
an explanation I've ever.
We don't even have
I have ever seen in legislative maneuvering. What this does, and it doesn't mention a word about that in the amendment. What it really does is it our middle fathers who created the Constitution said every dime that comes in state income tax has to go to education. They actually said primary education, which was expanded in the 90s to go to higher education as well. So what's happened? The economy has been good, and the legislature woke up one day and there was $1.2 billion in the education fund, which is where it's supposed to be because Utah's 50th in educational spending per child. So what did the legislature do? It rubbed its hands together and it said, we need that money. We've got to have it. We've got roads. We've got lawsuits to file. We've got other things. And somehow we need to convince people that it's a good thing to take away that requirement that income tax money be spent on education. How can we do that? And what words can we put in which will mislead people? And that's exactly what they did. For example,
in case you couldn't hear Jim very well when he was on the phone, whoa, he's back, guys.
Yeah, and he's a bit of a swear bear. Okay, so wherever you were, I don't know that the vocabulary was what it
I'm
is here.
I'm proud of it. Sometimes you got to find
podcast.
The right words, and that's the right word. Because what the legislature, you may not like the word, but what the legislature is doing to terrorize a generation of young people by grabbing in their greedy little hands that money so they can spend it any way they want as opposed to education. And why did they, one more thing, and then I'll let you go, Greg. Why did they throw in children and disability? Right now, for example, at the training school at American Fork, we spend money on children and disability. What
True.
This would allow them to do is leave that money and count it toward that education money so they can pull the money out of there and spend it on their roads and on all of the crazy things that they want to spend. That money ought to stay with education.
Truth bombs,
period.
Are going to land here soon. Is it my turn yet?
Truth bombs?
Here
okay.
come the truth bombs. 50 states in America do this. They have to balance the budget. Unlike the federal government, a state, whether it's the most blue state in the world, a New York state, a California, a red state like Utah, Texas, you name it, you can't spend any more as a state than what you collect in taxes. What has happened is you have our state income tax uniquely dedicated to the education of our youth and our children of our state. Makes sense because we have a lot of kids. Jim is right that that was the original state constitutional intention that our state in fact, the state income tax was created for that purpose, to educate our kids, because we don't see, we as a state, our land, most states get to spend on their schools through property tax. When 65%+ of your state is federal lands where you're not seeing property tax, how do you fund your schools? And then we have more kids per taxpayer than any other state. So that is a good thing. And then in the 90s, there was an amendment to the Constitution where state institutions of higher learning still are same students instead of K through 12 and went K through 16. But let's fast forward. We saw an attempt at tax reform that looked to increase taxes in food and gasoline. It was going to lower some of the other taxes, but it was trying to make it what they call revenue neutral. But what's happening is that you can only spend what you collect. If you are collecting income tax and you have that being collected at a higher rate, but you have other demands of your state and for children. If you have children that you need the health care, you need, there's WIC, there's all kinds of different programs. And then you get into the disabilities. There's a large portion. You know, our health and human services budget as a state is only third, it's not a coincidence, to public education, higher education, and then third is health and human services. That's the third largest area. What this amendment says is, if we're not going to change our tax structure to collect more to address the critical priorities of the state of Utah, particularly in, as it says, in the area of health and human services, then as long as we're still talking about children and we're talking about people that have disabilities, that income tax can more broadly be used to address those issues. If we don't like that, Jim, then you should have been supporting the tax increases that were being proposed.
No, there's
another
way.
I'm
going to
tell you, you can only spend what you collect in this state
like
any
other
state.
There's another way.
So that's the reality. By the way, let me finish. This is not just a crazy, as Jim would let you believe, lead you to believe, conservative policy. This had broad support. You have the teachers unions, Utah's teachers union that supports it. You have conservatives that support it. You have people across the board. Stakeholders, educators, I think the Association of School Districts and superintendents support it. So you have broad support for this effort. It isn't perfect, but what is in anything you're looking at in public policy?
Look, 10 years ago when Herbert became governor, he said,
that.
We're 50th, and we're going to change that. Education is the most important thing. It's the cornerstone. And how are we going to do it? We're going to lower taxes dramatically, not on people, but we're going to give away hundreds of millions of dollars as tax incentives, and those companies are all going to come, and the world will prosper, and education spending will go up. So guess what happened? It worked. We have an economy that is working. Those companies are here. They're paying. That income tax went up. There's $1.2 billion in there, but it's not enough for the legislature. They want to cut more corporate taxes. This is an obligation that we have to our children, and letting the legislature change the Constitution so they can mucky up that. And on the UEA, being in favor of this, they are intimidated and they are bullied and they are threatened by the legislature.
So their
continually
endorsement's not a real endorsement.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not.
All right. Yeah. All no. Right. Like here, the thing is, and I want you to have the last words to retort what I'm about to say, Jim. This is so that you're not going to cut those taxes. This is so that those taxes can be addressed to the critical issues of our state, where as our state grows, you had this disparity between how the state was collecting sales tax, property tax, all the different tax sources it had, and then the income tax being siloed into only educational efforts. There are those many issues. And so we saw some reform. It didn't work. The people rose up, said, no, thank you. What this does is this allows for those for the taxes that Utahns are already paying for these critical priorities to be addressed. And the constitutional amendment says for children in terms of their health, and then for those with disabilities. I think we're in 2020. I think the taxes look very different today than they did back then, and I think this is appropriate and responsible.
Okay, then my final word is this.
Okay.
Look at Facebook. The legislature loves these companies, and they don't think they ought to pay any taxes. Facebook came into Utah County, $300 million in incentives.
It's a lot.
And look at Amazon. They're rolling into Salt Lake with their fabulous $12 an hour jobs. Millions and millions and millions of taxpayers. It amounts to $500, $600, $700 million in reckless tax breaks to Mr. Bezos and to Mr. Zuckerberg. The state ought to be ashamed of itself because now it's robbing the education fund with all this blah, blah stuff. Vote against.
Better yet, Jim, take your animosity towards Facebook, which I think you'll find a lot of people in the legislature share that opinion now.
It's true.
And get rid of those tax breaks. I think you'll find a very receptive audience.
No, that's
audience
what I'm saying.
Now.
Let's do that. We don't need to. We don't need to do this. If
I
we do
want to talk about Facebook in just a second, but before we move on, if you still are confused about the issue, you're not ready to take Jim or Greg's word for what they are.
You can take mine. There's it's more okay. Information. You can take my word. I'm the cool, calm, collected
but
one.
But this
here.
Is helpful. This is good information. There's more if you want to sit down and read about it and let your friends listen to this. KUTV.com. Just search Amendment G. We have a couple stories and other voices talking about it. I do want to talk about Facebook and Twitter because there's been a lot of hubbub over the last couple days about a New York Post article that both Facebook and Twitter basically didn't allow you. If you clicked on it, it said that it was spam or it was something that would break your computer and didn't let you go to the website. Whether you want to believe the story was true or not, it's called The Smoking Gun Email Reveals About How Hunter Biden Introduced Ukrainian Businessman to VP Dad. Obviously, it's a piece that does not smile kindly on Democrat Joe Biden.
It's also not true.
No, okay, yes.
But let's take that piece out of it right now, whether it's true or not true. Facebook and Twitter, should they be able to decide what we as adults see? Here's my issue with it. Whether it's this or a year ago when Amazon and YouTube pulled off anything that had anything to do with vaccines, whether it's a Republican issue and whether Trump's children are taking in millions of dollars while they're still in office, do we really want, whether it's the government or private entities, Facebook or Twitter, that call themselves platform, do we want them choosing what we see? It starts to feel a lot like communist China. And when you say, well, we're not pulling it down off their the news website, I'm here to tell you from someone who comes from a news organization, most readers go to your news site because they've been led there by Facebook or Twitter or wherever it's been linked in. Do we really want to go down a road where we're picking and choosing or someone's picking if this is what we can read?
Heidi, this is censorship without apology. This is pretty scary stuff when you think about it. So I know for a fact, because of my history and friendship with Jim, that we both appreciated the musical Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton. He started the New York Post in 1801, okay? This isn't info news. This isn't some radical underground internet, you know, organization pushing out stuff. This isn't Russia trying to, you know, this is since 1801, the New York Post has been a paper and a publication of record. They have done their research. They have presented, and there is no way with the word whistleblower and what we've seen thrown at this president. You have the New York Times with what they say or President Trump's tax records. If they do have them, it's illegal. You're not allowed to have someone's tax returns if they haven't been released. It is illegal. They have them. But when it's a Democrat attacking a Republican, it is never about the source of the leak. It is always about the content of the leak. But when it's a Republican, then it's collusion, then it's Russians, it's who gave you that information. The emails of Wiki, you know, RNC documents that were hacked and these emails that were exposed, it was never about the emails and the content. It was always about where did it come from. It's a double standard for the New York Post to be censored by Twitter and by Facebook. This is electioneering, and you can call it anything you want. You can hate the story, but they are supposed to be a purveyor. I'm supposed to be able to use my account, read something, and share it, as you've pointed out, because this is how people are communicating now. To have them, and by the way, I'm told that you've got Twitter executives and Facebook executives that are now participating in Biden's transition team, getting ready in the event that he wins.
And Trump's.
And I'm going to tell you right now.
And it shouldn't happen in either direction.
And I'm telling you right now, you cannot shut this down. This is electioneering.
It's just
like censorship.
You. We can't be shut down.
Yes, just like me. I won't stop talking. I'm so frustrated
with this. I just feel like we should have the right to see whether it was 4 years ago and the grab them by the beep video or whatever it is, or if it's, I don't care. I don't even think we should be getting rid of QAnon or conspiracy theories because who decides? There's a lot of gray area.
Who decides?
What's a conspiracy theory? What's fact? And oftentimes, whether it's conspiracy theory or stories or research on the other side, there's always some facts in there. And
what about inciting violence?
Oh, well, please. You can make that argument to any bit of news.
I'm talking about really inciting violence. Is that okay or not?
So you want Black Lives Matter shut down and Antifa?
I'm asking a serious question. Is there any limit to what you would put on there?
I haven't seen any limit everybody on Antifa, Black Lives Matter. I've seen no limitations put on there.
Like, you're trying to turn this political. No, I'm not. I'm saying, is there...
There's a specific threat, I guess, if somebody said, everyone, let's meet at Jim DeBacchus or Heidi Hatch's house tonight.
And here's her address.
And when she comes out, let's shoot and kill her.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Doxing, and a lot of Democrats are doing that to Republicans.
See, there you go again.
I'm just saying that you can politicize. So the reason you can politicize,
call 911, but maybe
that,
not delete it.
Is that what you say is the truth, and what the Republicans say is going to incite violence? That is the simple way to censor in this country.
Here's Greg's address. His family is going to be there. Everybody meet with a shotgun at a certain time.
You mean like the New York Times did with Tucker Carlson's address at his home in Georgetown?
That's what's going on.
I'm saying it's sad.
Look, we're trying to get above this because this is a serious issue. So it's not just about maneuvering whatever political side you're on. Now, you've got an issue here that isn't talked about.
But that's all. The Salt Lake Tribune had nothing to do with violence or inciting violence, that article.
Okay, let's talk. Let's listen to Jim for a second.
The Salt Lake Tribune. Thank you, Heidi.
Okay.
let the girl talk. The Salt Lake Tribune said some pretty untrue things during some campaigns that I've been involved in.
Somebody
owns the Tribune,
yeah.
Mr. Huntsman, and that's his newspaper. He gets to say what he wants. You want to start a newspaper? You go say what you want. These are private companies. They're not some government thing. And they have the right to use whatever criteria they want. Just like you can't run into the newspaper, I can't run into KUTV and say, I don't want to see that in the news. That's not my decision.
It's a privately owned company. Social media platforms are different. They're supposed to be an aggregator of information, not an editorial tone.
You don't own them. They are what the owners of those companies want to become. Okay, so you don't have a right to roll and control them.
If you have editorial content, then there are different federal regulations, FCC, than you have if you're claiming that you're nothing but an aggregator of news or information or a communication conduit. When you are that, you fall under a different set of federal requirements or regulations than you do if you are going to start to impose an opinion, have an editorial tone to it.
It's Section 315 of the FCC. And I'm saying, ultimately, it's not your business. You know what? Go start your own. If you know what the FCC requirement is, you got to comply with that. Go start your own YouTube. So what are you saying? That the government has the right to go in and close them down if they're saying things?
I'm saying that you are no more than an aggregator of information and people can use your platform to communicate with each other, but now you are parachuting in and now deciding what candidate you want to be allowed to say whatever they want about the other candidate, but it's not a two-way street.
It's not your business. It's Mr. Zuckerberg's company, and you don't have every right to demand that your position is if
they are falsely calling themselves something that they are not. If they want to be a political, if they want to be a Breitbart, if they want to have Breitbart.com, if they want to have a tone, fine.
Okay, push
but that's a different
boys.
World.
So here's the question I have. There's a lot of gray area here, but whether it's information where someone's researching on one side of a topic or another, if Facebook or Twitter gets rid of it, all of a sudden YouTube does the same, Amazon won't sell the documentaries, whatever the issue is, it's okay until it's an issue you care about. But this is how we get information these days. So, you know, is there a concern? I look back to the start of the coronavirus, and I remember there were a couple videos that instantly came up out of, I think, where the virus started in Wuhan, China, where people had some, I don't even know specifically what they had to say, but there were people in China who felt like they had something to say about the virus. Those people, when people went back to look for those videos, they'd been deleted. No one could find those people. There was no way to speak to them. And so social media gets controlled. It depends on who's controlling it.
In China, you mean?
Yeah. And so do we want to take a step towards that, where if someone's voicing an opinion, who decides whether it's dangerous or not? Does that person disappear? Right. Does only the video disappear?
In Michigan and in Texas,
God bless
there
America.
Have been shootings on American military bases by people who were indoctrinated vis-a-vis social media. Is that okay to put our military people and innocent people? I mean, they're really teaching them how to kill and how to make bombs and how to blow up people and how to get in military establishments. Is there any sense of decency about somebody going and going, nope, that's a line too
Jim,
far.
I will tell you this, to your point, I would say
if
you
want
to...
Well, then we should have shut down pornography then a long time ago, the dark web selling drugs.
And this is, look, I understand what you're saying, and if you are looking at that even-handedly, if you're saying it's a two-way street, then radical Islam and then the other side of the spectrum on the conservative side are both have dangerous elements to them, and we want to uniformly address those things without regards to the political bent of either side.
Who can do that, though? It's impossible.
So that's what I'm saying, is if you want to do it
even-handedly... I could be the arbiter, and I'd be fair, but I don't trust anybody else.
Gosh, yeah, you just made my point. So if you could do it even-handedly, then I'd say yes, but what you're saying is it is hard for us. There's no one in their world who has, you know, eight brain cells that can be unbiased. We are going to have areas that resonate with us or opinions that do... versus opinions.
One more
that
thing,
we
Kim Coleman on this, may be able to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Kim Coleman, who always sat next to me, and we always had a delightful time. She had the best purses in history, wrong on just about everything and every issue, and long-winded, I might add. But look, who am I to talk?
These are a lot of backhanded compliments.
So who was he? The guy that was coming up to the U to speak, and everybody got in an uproar. And
the
right wing guy and whatever, and Ben Shapiro and all of that. And you know what? I got clobbered on that because I think the best antidote for free speech is a lot more free speech.
Correct.
So let the guy go up, let him yak, and then bring in all the other people to say it. And a lot of liberals kind of go queasy at that. Like, you know, what if he says blah, 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 or whatever. And I hope it's not an easy thing, but we always ought to put the emphasis on free speech.
So I agree with Jim. I would imagine if you were at a bar and it's later at night and people have been imbibing, having an opinion, a sharp opinion that might not be embraced by everyone at the bar could get pretty scary or dicey, okay? So if you have an opinion...
What do you know about bars?
I'm just guessing. Okay, I'm just guessing. Right. Look, Pittsburgh's a drinking town with a football problem. So I've been around. I've been in the universe of this.
All right.
So if you're at a bar and you have a strong opinion, you might see a little pushback. I think institutions of higher learning ought to not be like a bar, you know, at about midnight where people have been drinking. I think you should be able to speak your mind and have this information, have this freedom of speech. You should not be banning. You shouldn't have safe spaces or whatever they're calling them nowadays. Let the battle of ideas, if they can't happen on our campuses, where in the world are we going to see this happen? So I agree with you. I think that you cannot infringe on freedom of speech. We should be able to see these ideas.
Let's see what it gets close to home. I put a post on about Elder Bednar's of the church, the LDS church's opinion that I found offensive.
Yeah,
and I found it wrong,
right.
And I found it not scientific based. And I went on and said, this is bull. Just because you're a church leader, when it comes to talking politics, once you jump in that political pool, you're fair game.
I would agree, whether you're the church or the CDC.
Not me. There's lightning about to strike in here. I'm getting out of here. I am running.
So
you have the
I was
right
astonished
to do
that. At how many people said, you have no right to, this is somebody's religion. You don't have any right to criticize them. And,
I think it's
you know,
all.
I mean,
don't criticize the overall religion. Criticize the message or the messenger.
Well, that's exactly
said.
Right.
If we can be,
that's
look,
exactly right.
I'm
so, going to
say
anyway.
That, Jim, I've engaged in policy differences with Jim. When we're not on stage, when we're not at maybe here, but we can have a difference of opinion and really iron it out and find common ground.
Yeah,
this
true.
Is something that can happen in policy. This should be if it bleeds, it leads. I mean, a lot of people try to, and in the broadcasts about politics, try to make it as bombastic as possible because it draws eyes or it gets attention. And it's a sad place that we're going as a country that way. I'm going to tell you this. I agree with you, Jim. I think that the best way is to have a great battle of ideas. But my fundamental, and I believe that you see it this way too, whether you're willing to admit it or not, you got to have a two-way street. However you're being treated, you treat other people. So if I'm going to get if I'm going to have a town hall meeting and I'm going to have someone that wants to test every single word I say and question it, then the other guy, the other candidate ought to be tested as vigorously as the other.
Ooh, I feel like this was a transition All right. into
You like
the
that segue? Because I got some opinions about that.
Before we move on to that segue, I keep going back here. We were talking about free speech. If you're looking for a good book, The Coddling of the American Mind. So if you're at home and you want to get it, I actually have it on hold at the library, but it's kind of on the issue of free speech and that we're coddling our brains and our universities are just, you know.
I agree with that.
Let the mind be free, free speech. So let's do that. But I do want to talk, before we run out of time, about the town halls. I'm still a little disappointed that we had two town halls that you had to watch separately, and I guess depending on who you were talking to were played out equally or not equally. I would have liked to see them actually on a debate stage. I think we were far enough out by CDC guidelines. They could have pulled it off safely or even done it outside. The one in Miami was a little sweaty because it's humid there, but it worked. So June, we'll let you go first on this one. Did you actually watch the events? And did you feel like online, people who may feel the same as Jim felt like the president was not treated in the same manner as Mr. Biden?
Poor president. He gets picked on so much. I feel sad. You know,
look, here's what I'm concerned about. Bias here and say, was it the two-way street?
Here's what I'm concerned about.
Was it a two-way street?
Chris Stewart. He's the congressman for everybody in Salt Lake City. And he refuses to meet with even one of his constituents or have a meeting with them. He had one a couple of years ago to a packed 1,300 people, and it didn't go well for him. People asked questions. He's never showed up again.
I remember that one, and I'm not going to say this is his fault or not, but what was happening? I forget, but it was one of those times where everyone just went and nobody asked questions. They just came and screamed and were like...
Well, yeah, he wouldn't... He was... He's got a tough position.
What's that
he's
have to got do with this town hall?
I'm making it local. Right? Yeah. So you've got Washington County, and you've got Davis County from Farmington to Bountiful, and he's trying to represent those hardcore conservatives and every single person in Salt Lake City. And it infuriates the people of Salt Lake, and we don't have a chance to talk to our representative.
Have you called him and asked him if he'll meet with
I've asked him 100 times. He has no interest in meeting with anybody other than the people that are going to stroke him.
Now, and then when you
add in Mike Lee as their senator, look, you're as an elected official, you're not elected to represent the people of your party or that agree with you or whatever.
You're there to
listen to everybody and keep an open mind. And I think particularly Chris Stewart is outrageous as we talk about town hall meetings. Get Mr. Fighter Pilot, come on and face some of your constituents is what I say.
Okay, we'll have to probably wait until COVID's over with or space you like 8 chairs apart. Here's what I watched last night. And I'm going to admit right now, I didn't watch the full one of each because I was flipping back and forth. I thought that they did ask some good hard questions to Mr. Biden. I thought there was good questions that were hard towards the president. What I didn't love watching was I felt like there was a lot more interrupting of the president and more like trying to debate him himself. And I really think that news people need to ask hard questions. You're not the friend of the person running for office. You're interviewing him for the hardest job and the toughest job in the world. But I do think you have to let them speak and maybe not interrupt all the time. So I think that there was maybe not the exact same thing going on both of them, but I do think we have to ask hard questions. We should expect hard questions, and the media should not be the friends of people running. We shouldn't be their enemy either. We should be someone who's trying to get conversation and information to the people.
I agree with
there
that.
There shouldn't be screaming. There shouldn't be interrupting. It should just be a tough conversation.
So I brought this up the last couple of weeks, but I'm going to bring it up again. I felt that the debate that KUTV held, where you asked, we had this interview portion, almost like that town hall format, where you were asking us a set of questions ahead of time before we had the debate. We had an hour of that where each candidate came and there were questions. I'm telling you, if you've gotten through a debate, it was maybe the first primetime debate of a gubernatorial race like that on a major network.
It was fun.
And it was a big deal. If you get out the other side having been questioned by Rod Decker, it's a badge of honor. I tell you right now,
because Heidi.
But this is why, like, no, but Heidi, you were good, but like, you know Rod. I mean, he kind of yells when he talks.
He is more aggressive than I am.
I'm the Rod Decker. And I'm saying this in a good way, but because I know where I'm sitting right now. I don't want to get attacked here, but Rod will give like an on-camera update for like the segment coming up in the gallery when I was Speaker of the House. He's so loud. Like, we stop and listen to this, like, this promo.
On TV, it always felt like he was whispering. I'm like, I can't hear you.
No, he's screaming up there, and he's just yelling. And so he puts a mic in your face. He goes, so he has a style to him, right?
What's good about him is, and I've known him.
He's good about accountability.
Take Two when I was a kid, I mean, which was a TV show on Sunday nights.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I love I've known him.
I don't know if Rod Dekker is a Democrat or a Republican. I have no clue.
That is the point, and that is that as a candidate, as long as I knew that Rod and all that Rod brings is going to be to every candidate's going to have to go through that gauntlet. And again, I'm not, I feel your look. I mean, you were tough too. I'm going to tell you had hard questions, but Rod's just kind of this, you know, he's Rod. So, but everybody went through that. I fundamentally know for a fact that former chief of staff to President Clinton's George Stephanopoulos asking Biden questions in the tone and letting him speak and let him talk about what he wanted to talk about versus Savannah, what's her name? Savannah Guthrie. My gosh.
She's
talk
an
about
attorney.
Two different.
Ooh.
And so they're not going through the same experience. They're not going through the same refiner's fire. And if you're going to give, you got to give as good as you get.
Poor president.
You got to do that.
Give me a break. He's president of the United States. And sometimes you get a good draw. Sometimes you don't.
Biden could never survive the kind of gauntlet in terms of the attacks and the challenging of his answers.
You know, talking about local media, have you ever watched the governor's press conference?
I have.
Those are the most inane, boring, but the reporters are not serious. They don't do follow-up questions. They don't ask hard questions through this whole COVID thing. They are toothless, and it's really embarrassing to sit there and listen to that and have the governor be in complete command and not have a press, which is our backstop to knowing exactly what's going on. I give them a D. Our press is pathetic on those press conferences.
I think they should be asking tougher questions. And speaking of tougher questions, one of them we were talking about yesterday right now, I hate to go back to the COVID task force, but I still think there's a lot of questions that when this is all said and done or now or sometime, we've really got to look at how this money was spent, how things are working. We talked to a guy yesterday. It's been 9 or 10 days since he went to test Utah. And he still doesn't have results. If we want to have people who are obeying the quarantines or following the rules we're giving them, we need testing that works. You can't tell someone, sit around for 9 or 10 days, you may or may not have it. It doesn't work. And so I think if we're going to ask people to use the systems we've set up, those systems have to work. And I do understand they made them switch labs, but I don't think weeks out there should be that issue or I'm sorry I don't have answers.
And I would agree. I think there needs to be there needs to be more context to what we're looking at as well. If you have these desks, my wife, Krista, she found the maybe those quick profiles of those that had been reported as having died with COVID recently.
Mm-hmm.
One person was 85 living in a care center. The other was between the ages of 65 and 85 in a care center. When you start to get that information about what's the demographic we're seeing that is passing away from COVID, I think it informs the whole virus or what risks we're looking at. What you don't want to do is imagine that they're all elderly people with other issues, but it's not. Maybe it's a younger group that's getting it and having these complications. When we look at our ICU beds, and that's, again, the healthcare delivery is so vital to this. It's really the only issue with this. If you had a virus right now that put you down for the count for 2 weeks, but you were always going to be okay, and we weren't going to interrupt our healthcare delivery and our ICU beds, I don't think you would want to shut down an economy, an education system, and healthcare delivery over it. So we need to know the context of what those ICU bed circumstances are so that we can take that information and contrast it with our own lives or who we are or what health conditions or maladies we might have, and we can act accordingly. So good information drives good decisions. And Heidi, I'm telling you, you're right. We're not getting good information. Information like the test, how quickly it comes back, if it comes back. There are some times I've heard in Utah where assumptions are made if someone had it, they get put into that COVID-19 category because they were in the proximity of someone else at a basketball game or something like that. So I think the information side of this has always been lacking. And as long as you're not getting good information, I think it's impossible to make good decisions.
Information is power. And I do know that we're dealing with HIPAA. We live in a new world. But I think even with HIPAA, I think we could probably be more open with information, give us more information. Before we go, I'm going to give everyone like 60 seconds, but the governor did make a change this week to a low, medium, and high profile, depending on how many people in your county are in the ICU, how many are testing positive. Jim, is this a good idea, a good change? We're in a two-week reset here.
It's nothing. It's horrendous what the governor has done, how he and Cox have responded. By every measure, they said if we get to 400 cases, it's going to be urgent. We're at 1,500 now, new cases every day. They said we need to be at 3% positive rate. We're at 12, 13, sometimes 16 and 17%. The ICU barriers we've had. You know what happened last week to a woman in Harriman? Because we're at 100%. You take a statewide ICU average, and you got 20 beds in Iron County.
The woman who had the heart problem.
She had a heart attack. And she waited 2 days, and they were trying the best they could to get her where...
Well, 2 days. She was at the hospital for a couple of hours while they were making calls to get
2 hours. 2 hours. I said 2 days. 2 hours they're waiting. Well, it wasn't the right place.
2 days would be a zombie. That would be the undead
waiting to
get...
The point is, our hospital system is taxed. And this little, oh, we're going to try a new system. Baloney, and I refrained. What we need is good, strong leadership. We need mandatory masks. Oh. We need to do the things that have worked in the states that are taking care of this.
So my criticism, maybe the governor did the right thing, because if he's making Jim mad on the left and me on the right, maybe it's that.
Everybody's
maybe that's right
mad.
Down the
there is a
down
nice
the middle
sweet spot. If everyone's mad,
I will tell you this: you ought to. We have county health departments, and while I would be on the wrong side of that in Salt Lake County, because I think that the county government is politically
they've taken
bent
that
to
power
left.
Away from Salt Lake County.
When you look at the 5-county health department down in the Washington County, Iron County, that area down in southern Utah, southwest areas of our state, Dr. Blodgett went to Johns Hopkins to get his education. He's a physician and the head of their health department, and he has said, and he has said this for a long time, the way that his health department has planned for pandemics, theoretically, as a health department should, what he would do on his own to address this is very different than what's coming down from above. And you wouldn't see necessarily masks for everyone. You would see greater
Why?
Attention
what is
taken.
The bad thing about
because
a mask?
Because, first off, there's a lot of information out there about whether, look, the World Health Organization
what
is telling people,
what is
don't
the bad
lock
thing?
People down. There's people, there's doctors
What is the
that are
bad
saying,
thing? Suppose we're wrong and masks aren't that useful. What great thing happens
okay,
if you say to
I
people,
lost
everybody
my
60 wear a mask?
Seconds here. I don't even get my 60
All
seconds.
Right,
look,
it
I'm
is
just saying
Greg's
this, Jim.
Turn.
Jim, I'm just saying this. You want to go broadly with 3+ million people of the state and mandate behavior. I'm going to tell you that if we know, and I've heard this from physicians and health department directors, if we know who our most vulnerable populations are, they would much rather put better firewalls and better protection around those that are most vulnerable than attempting something that I think is even naive to think or imagine that you're going to take 3+ million people and have them all operating under the same precautions at the same time. We're seeing these cases go up, and how many more mandates do you want? I mean, Salt Lake City, you can't go in any building now without your mask on in Salt Lake, and you're still seeing the cases come up. I'm going to tell you that there is reason, and I think at least logic, for and those that would want to do it. So take it by a county-by-county measure, but have them, if they feel that the elderly or those that are in care centers are the most vulnerable, make everybody that walks in be
work.
Tested
That's
every
not,
single
it's
time.
It's not
make
science. What you're
the,
saying
oh,
there,
that is
like
are you
somehow
me?
Take all the old people and lock them away.
Well, they're not
that,
locked
that
away.
Doesn't
you have
work.
Care centers already. That you've got to make sure the employees that walk in
are safe. A lot of people
are
in care centers,
oh gosh,
and people have grandchildren.
Christ.
Okay, you're 60 seconds. Theoretical 60 seconds.
Here's the
seconds.
Situation.
Your
I actually
turn.
Would like to spend an entire podcast talking right. about care centers, because there's so many issues surrounding it with COVID right now. But alas, we're out of time.
Oh,
I know we fought about so many things today, but hopefully in the end we can all agree that we should vote in 18 days or even sooner so we can get those votes counted so we
Drop
might know
Drop your ballot
before
off. Don't
By
trust
the way, I never got it. My, speaking of voting, I never got my census thing. So I don't care. I didn't fill it out. So that means there will be one
you didn't
less.
You did go online and just fill it out?
No, they never send it to me. They ended it early on order of the president. So I'm just saying there's three less people that are going
to
be represented in Utah. So,
thank you,
oh
Jim.
Well.
Thank you, Jim.
say that.
Okay, I feel like there's some personal responsibility here. I cannot imagine that you didn't get a call or anything in the mail telling you to go online.
Nothing.
They come to your house. They come to your house and bang on your door. You should have seen them getting this thing from me.
I was in the bunker. They didn't go there.
All
right, Jim. I need someone to be your nanny and take care of you. You're both terrific. I'm glad you're back in house. You're much louder when you're
back,
here.
Jim.
This is so fun.
It is.
Tell your friends about us. We've got more information about all of those ballot issues at KUTV.com. We'll see you next Friday.